Welcome to the Fantasy Golf Degenerates Podcast.
Jordan Bell's third. Jordan Bell's third. Yo, yo. Jordan Belfort, stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words. I done popped the molly and I think it's be my third. Jordan Belfort, Jordan Belfort. I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Belfort. Jordan Belfort, I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Belfort. Stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds.
What is going on, DGen Nation? Kenny Kim here, bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast this week for the Sony Open. As usual, I'm here with my favorite Canadian, Tyler Tambourine. Tyler, how you doing this week, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Another banger. You know, it was a good way to start the season there last week. We talked it up and said it wouldn't be all that, and it wasn't going to be something we were too excited about. But, you know, just sort of get into the swing of things. Ended up being a huge weekend for me to kick it off, so I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, it worked out really well. It was actually a pretty good week for me, DFS-wise. Now, personally, not the best week. Saturday, I threw my back out, like, real bad at work. Like, I have a bad sciatic nerve. I have some back problems, and I was laid up all weekend. So I'm currently on a concoction of muscle relaxers, Percocet, and Crown Royal. Just kidding. For all those people out there who are worried about me, you know, mixing alcohol with painkillers, I was just kidding about the Crown Royal. Just kidding about the Crown Royal. Now, here's the one thing. It actually ended up working out pretty well because I got the weekend off work because I threw my back out. And I was able to watch, you know, these 2 weeks are some of the best weeks for sports. You know, you got NFL playoffs going straight into, you know, Hawaii golf. So, you know, it worked out. I was laid up on my couch. DFS-wise, it was a good week. It was a roller coaster week. I mean, I started the week. This is what no-cut events are. I started the week after day one losing $270 by the eighth hole. By the time the leaders reached the eighth hole on Sunday, I was up almost 3,000. And then by the time the whole tournament ended, I was only up like $180. So it was 60% return on investment for me. Nothing like you. One thing I will say is that I actually posted some unofficial cash game cornerstones on Gup's Corner Slack chat this past week, and that actually turned out pretty well. Like Dustin Johnson, Cantlay, and Reed on there. I threw a punt play with Herman just so I can fit three of those 9K and up guys in my cash lineup. So it still worked out pretty well. But I didn't have the week Tambo had. Tambo, tell everyone about your week.
It was pretty straightforward. I mean, it worked out good. I'm happy. I'm proud. You know, I felt good, obviously, to get back on the winning cycle. You guys know from listening and everybody in the Gup's Corner Slack, et cetera, know from last year it was, you know, a case of close but no cigar. All the close calls, you know, the match play when I would have won it on Saturday, the 444, and then Tiger missed that 440. Like, I can name all the bad beats, just like poker. It's the same sort of feeling. So this was good to get back into the swing of things. It's the first time I've ever had an optimal lineup. So it was it's a 34-man event, so that makes sense, but that was the best lineup that was available. And it was just roller coaster of emotions down the stretch. Essentially, you know, JT in the fairway, not the best line in the fairway, but on 18 before the playoffs started. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, JT up one, him and Xander both in the fairway, just got to see this close out. And then to see him going to the hazard, obviously that was, you know, the wife had to step out for a second, let's just say that, because I snapped. But, hey, you know, you're in it for the reason to win, and it's fun when it comes down to the end and you get the job done. So, yeah, it was everything we talked about. If you think back to the lineup last week, Kenny, it was, you know, we love JT. You know, we love Lanto. That was the top and bottom of it. And then Cantlay Reed, we talked up a bunch. We were all over Reed. I kind of, by the end, when I had Reed and JT after X exited the playoff, I thought I was good to go, and then I thought Reed was going to get there, but I forgot about the false 10 points for first place. So I was mathing. I was doing way too much math, and in the end, either of them could have won, so I started cheering for Reed because we had the outright. So wanted to get that, but either way, JT got the job done. Pretty impressive. Excited to see what your thoughts are on him for this week and you know, go from there. It's a full field event we finally get back to. But, yeah, pretty good event to get down to the wire. And yeah, to escape that route, it was good.
It was a hell of a tournament, I have to say. I mean, coming down, okay, the one thing I will say about Justin Thomas, and the difference between golf and other sports, you know, in other sports, there's certain things that can get you hyped up in the middle of a game. Like when you're playing basketball, someone talks shit to you, you can get hyped up about that. You know, like when you make a big play or something, or like, you know, or like the crowd, you know, at basketball games, the fans, they can get you hyped up. If you're a runner, I know people – you know, I know people who run a lot who say when they're listening to certain types of music, it amps them up and gets them running faster. You know, something that gets you motivated in sports. And in golf, it's tough to find that motivation factor, you know, in the middle of a round. You're just going about doing your business. It's quiet. There's not that much, you know, unless you hit like a crazy big shot, there's not that much, you know, I'm sorry, my mind is not going. This is going to be like this today because I am definitely off. I am all medicated up. So if I sound a little bit off today, that would be the reason why. But what I noticed about Justin Thomas's round is that three wood he hit on nine. It was a par five. I think like hardly anyone had reached the green all week or all day on the ninth hole. And he hits this three wood. Just a mammoth three wood with total recoil. He starts walking, you know, while the ball's still in the air, emphatically pulling his glove off of his hand. You know he's hype. And he hits that thing, you know, to the back of the green, makes the birdie. And then you see him hit, you know, go five birdies in his next seven holes or something like that. You know, he used that shot to get him the momentum and, you know, he needed to go on into the back nine. And I see that with JT a lot. And I really like that about his game. He finds little things that motivate him to get him hype in the middle of a round. And a lot of golfers have a tough time finding stuff like that on the golf course. And that was really big. And it worked really well on the back nine until about, you know, the second shot on 18, I don't know what the hell happened. And then you talk, look about Patrick Reed. I've never seen a short game putting exhibition that I saw like Patrick had this past week. 45 one putts. He was dead fucking last in greens and regulation. 45 one putts. Short game was spectacular. It was, and then Xander, of course, doing this thing. It was a hell of a tournament.
Xander really on the 18th, though, man, that was something. Like that three putt was insanity. When he was on the green, it's over. I'm saying it's over. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah. He three putted 18 both times in the final hole of the regulation and in the first hole of the playoff. Six putts on those two holes. Fuck them.
Yeah, wasn't good.
No, but you know, it was still a great tournament. You know, you saw what happened with Patrick Reed. That's going to happen a lot this season.
I don't want to keep beating it to death, but honest to God, like, it doesn't matter. All these guys, like, oh, that's going to happen. It's going to be worse in the States, man. He's going to have a tough time. No, it happened after the shot on 18, and it's not why he missed his putt, and he could have just as easily sank it, and the cheater was that still would have been yelled. So it doesn't matter. Like, he doesn't care. He was he's in the back room smiling, waiting for this playoff to happen. And basically destiny gets there for him and he gets to come back out and have a go at it. Like, he was free rolling at that point. Do you think he really cared? Do you think this really affects him mentally going forward? I don't. We'll talk about it on this pod for this event, but I'm still all in on Patrick Reed. I think he's fine.
Yeah. I mean, me too. I have no issues with him now.
And real quick, back to the putting thing. Cause we were going to bring it up later, but now I'm going to bring it up now he one putt so many times because of his short game. If you never are on the green and you're chipping it to 5 feet every time, that's where your putts are coming from. He made some long ones. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying people are acting like he made like 20, 60 foot putts across the weekend. That's not what happened.
He didn't hit any greens
and his short game is money, which it always is. Why do you think he crushes at Augusta? And he was putting his putts in the hole. Like, it's what he does. So yeah. I think he's fine. I don't think I'm not going to be off him this week, and we'll get to that.
That sounds good. Let's move on to the Listen League. Before we get to the Listen League, Tambo has a little bit of a message here for you. Go ahead, Tambo.
Yeah, just want to talk about quickly, guys. We got our hosting for podcasts is through Blueberry, BLUBRY.com. Set us up with a little something here just to make sure you guys know through the new year they've got a promotion. So if anyone's wanting to get into podcasting or looking to do it themselves, we've used them now. We switched over to them last year. Just a all-around better host for us. They've got the stats lined up so that you can have it set up to go through like we want to get on fantasy sports so that it was ranked within a category, get more listeners, go up from there. But essentially right now, you can get 30 days of Blueberry podcasting for free. It includes hosting, stats, a WordPress site if you need one. Basically just create, upload, publish, use the promo code BLU004 to get started today. Blueberry podcasting, it's the way to go. Kenny and I use it, recommend it highly.
All right, that sounds good. Let's go to this Listener League lineup. The winner this week was, I think it was a Gubb's Corner, remember? It was L. Bullard, 64, with the Gubb's Corner Avi. Shout out to the Gubb's Corner. He had 540 points. Justin Thomas at 26.67% owned. Patrick Reed at 38% owned. Gary Woodland at 25% owned. Munoz at 25% owned. Adam Long at 20% owned. And Lanto at 35% owned. What do you think about the lineup there, Tambo?
Solid. Yeah, it was right there with what we're doing. You know, like I said, I get that it was a 34-man event. I almost, you know, feel embarrassed to win that week, because even though everyone else would say, yeah, take your win, the point is I get that it's the 34-man event, right? But like I said to a guy before, if you got the lineup that's the best lineup, or if you got one like, you know, L.L. Bullard had a 540, if it wins the tournament, it wins the tournament. That's what it comes down to. That's all you can do. So love the lineup. It fits with everything that we talked about. Hoping for more this week. I think now maybe, I know, Kenny, you're a little bit under the weather or over the weather maybe, but let's say now is the good time to probably talk about the new Listener League. What do you think?
Yeah, go ahead, man. This Listener League is going to be cool. Check it out, Tamba. Talk about it.
Pretty pumped about this. Yeah, we got some, you know, made a couple connections with some of the DraftKings guys. Got a setup there just to get it a little bit bigger. It's no, you know, extra special just yet. He wants to see us grow it and build it, so we're going to count on your guys' support. But basically what we did is almost like a mini mail where we opened it up. It's three entry max, $5. So max $15. So instead of, you know, if you can't afford all three, or you can do both, I'm going to play in both leagues, right? Love the Mayo League, and his is rake free. That's the big difference. We don't get the luxury of that just yet, but it opens it up to 250 entrants total. And, you know, Kenny and I are only going to play one in it. So it'll keep 248 spots open and sort of keep it as, you know, three versus one if you want to put three in it, but it's a balanced payout structure. It pays out just over 15%. So it's a little more than, you know, it's almost 15% up top. And then from there, it goes down, but it's $150 up top. So you turn your $5 into that. If you want to put one in, if you want to put all three in, you can get 10x your money if you take it down. And then, of course, you'll join us in the three man every week, just as always.
All right. It's going to be a good league. Join it now. I mean, like Tambo said, you know, the faster we fill it, the larger it'll get. So let's make a movement this week. Everyone listening, go out, max out those lineups, or play one lineup, whatever. Get it in quickly. Don't wait till Wednesday. Get it in, you know, today, Tuesday, or Monday, whenever you're listening, and let's get that thing filled up real quick so DraftKings knows what the deal is about the Fantasy Golf Generals podcast. All right, so let's move on to this week. The PGA Tour stays in Hawaii this week as Wailea Country Club plays host to the Sony Open. This will be the first large field event of the season, and after multiple no-cut events in a row, we finally will have cut sweats on Friday. And once again, remember, the cuts changed to top 65 in ties for this year. Only two winners here since 2000 have been in their 20s. Russell Henley in 2013, Justin Thomas in 2017. 14 winners have been in their 30s, and four winners since 2000 were in their 40s. I said 14 winners were in their 30s. I'm so confused right now. It's hard to read this as well. So I'm gonna try to get through this. So even with this stat, I wouldn't eliminate any young uber talented golfers. The talent of these golfers in their 20s is something we've not really seen on tour for a long time. So I will say that older golfers are more in play than usual this week. There are a couple of other interesting tidbits about this tournament. 15 of the last 21 winners here played the week before at the Tournament of Champions. Also, the last nine winners here had a top six finish in one of their prior three starts leading up to their victory at Wailea Country Club. Now, Wailea Country Club is a 7,044-yard par 70 with four par 3s, 12 par 4s, and two par 5s, which are both reachable by almost all the players in the field. The par 5s are actually two of the easiest on tour. It is also set up right next to Manalua Bay, which can cause windy conditions. If the wind is down, this course is not too difficult to score on. The weather report as of now says that the winds should be strong during the first three rounds. This will cause much tougher conditions than we've seen in the past few years. Now, off the tee, golfers will see average-sized tree-lined fairways that are firm, flat, and usually fast, with bunkers in play on a few holes and water only a factor on two holes. It has actually rained quite a bit recently on the course, so it's possible the fairways will run a little bit slower than normal. But that should actually be an advantage for golfers, as it's less likely tee shots that land on the fairways roll out into the rough, which is something you see here year in and year out. Now, two of the toughest fairways to hit on tour are on this course. The 18th has been the hardest fairway to hit on tour since 2012, with only about 31% of balls landing on the fairway. The 13th hole is the fifth hardest fairway to hit on tour since 2012, with only about 38% of balls reaching the fairway. Now, the rough around the fairway isn't particularly high, but it is somewhat thick and gnarly. The Bermuda grass in the rough lends itself to balls sinking into the grass and leaving tough flyer lies. Wildlife consistently ranks in the 20 hardest rough proximity courses on tour each year. Now, with this information, you would think driving accuracy would be very important. But then you look at the numbers and trends and see that this is not necessarily true. Only 14 out of 54 golfers that finished top three here since 2005 were ranked inside the top 50 in driving accuracy for the year they won. Now, even though the 18th fairway is one of the most difficult fairways to hit on tour, it still plays as one of the easiest par fives each season. 3 years ago, the winner Fabian Gomez only hit 50% of the fairways and was tied for 60th in driving accuracy for the tournament. Brant Snedeker, who finished second to Gomez that year, he had 51.79% of his fairways and was tied for 56th in driving accuracy for the tournament. In 2017, JT hit less than 45% of the fairways and shot 59 during his first round on the way to beating the four-round course record. Now, I personally think this tournament will be won on approach shots from off and on the fairway and putting. On approach shots, golfers will see average-sized Bermuda grass greens that are fairly flat. Golfers need to hit as many greens as possible because there's a lot of trouble surrounding them. Many large, deep bunkers protect the greens, and the rough around the greens is much higher and thicker than the rough surrounding the fairways. These greens are firm and usually play around 11 on the stimp meter. Many people say that this course is similar to Mayakoba, Nine Bridges, you know, Copperhead. So looking at and TPC Old White, because Seth Rayner designed both of these courses. So looking at golfers who have fared well at these locations in the past could give you a leg up this week. Tambo, what stats are you looking for?
Yeah, you talked a lot about the fairways, I think, already. It just stems to it. It's approach, it's par four scoring, it's putting, birdie or better. I mean, one thing this week that's outside of the stats is going to be, it looks like it's going to be, the wind is still there, right? So definitely the Century TOC narrative or whatever you want to call it, where people played it the week before and whatnot, and that matters. I think it's bigger here. I think the course history is bigger here a little bit than others, and it's just something that you see year after year. You mentioned Mayakoba, I believe. So you got some, you know, hits there that guys do well there, do well here, some coastal courses. But yeah, back to the wind narrative. I think that's going to stem. It looks like that it stemmed from what we saw last week, and that's going to be the biggest factor. So definitely keeping an eye on that up until Wednesday. You know, Gups Corner, the Slack chat, we'll be talking about it over there. If you guys aren't on board yet, you can still hop over to gupscorner.com, use promo code DGEN20, jump on with Kenny and I. Saw a couple guys do that overnight and this morning. So hop in the Slack. Everyone will take care of you there, but we'll update on stuff like that throughout the week. And I know, Kenny, you update your article as the week goes on normally with a couple more plays and whatnot.
I do. So, you know, use promo code DGEN20 for GubsCorner.com. Like Tambo said, the Slack chat is amazing. They put out the tools this week. They're unbelievable. You get all the sports. You're not just golf. So it's definitely worth it. Go check out Gubs Corner. My article's there. Tambo's article's there. You use promo code DGEN20 right now and get yourself a subscription. All right. So let's get to this slate. Let's start off in this top end here. We have Colin Morikawa all the way to Justin Thomas. How are you going about it this week?
I thought we were going to start with JT, the winner. I got JT, man. You know, everyone does, but you got to go back to him. I don't care if he's 12,000 or not. It's like I said, I just don't see any of that happening. I see this being an even better spot for him, really. And I think that, you know, it's just undeniable what we're going to see. Someone said yesterday on Twitter, the year of, you know, 2020, the decade of JT is here. You know, past Spieth, all this stuff, the fourth ever under 27 to get this many wins with guys like Tiger, Snead, all that. So, you know, I think this is the spot where we'll see it again. You know, it just is what it is. You have to eat it up and find the way. The good news is this week is you don't have to hit the exact guys down low. You will to take down a tournament, but in more so of a sense of there's more to pick from versus last week you had your, you know, five, six guys with the Hermans and the other guys that were down there where you kind of had to take, you know, more of a shot or more of a risk than here. So, you know, you get to pick who you want here. At least you'll be comfortable going in with the lineup is what I'm trying to say. So love JT, but as far as my T3BOs go, they're back and they're, I'm wasting no time with them this week. I'm getting them out of the way right away because I think the obvious is JT. But then I think when people start to get cute and look at it like, okay, if I was to fade JT, what about Webb Simpson? Great course history. You know, last time he played here, he was fourth, all these things. like I said before, I don't know if he's going to stay popular, if people think that he's just going to fade away, or they're going to, you know, because of the cheater thing with Reed, or if they're going to say that because of the putting factor, you know, because of the one putts and all that stuff. So you get, you know, that's not sustainable. All these factors that they're going to bring up. To me, if you look at the two of them right now, I know that some of Simpson's recent results are there in top tens. But overall, if you think about Webb versus Reed, Webb has been incredible from a stats perspective, but he's just not a guy that I always see as like a top 10 guy. He's more of a top 10 to 15, top 15 to 20, and that's not going to cut it for 11-1, whereas I think Reed just wants to battle back and prove everybody wrong. So first one out of the gate is going to be Reed over Simpson, see what the ownership looks like by the end of the week. That can obviously change on a dime. And then, man, I'm sticking in this range. I know we spent a lot of time here, but new year, new me, Kenny. When would you ever see me pivot off of someone to take a five-figure Matsuyama, and it's this week? Because I already know, I've seen him, he's the cover boy for two or three articles out there today. I get the stats. I love me some Colin Morikawa, but Colin Morikawa being 10,300 is more insane to me than Matsuyama being 10,500. And the thing about Matsuyama here is he's 1,500 bucks less than JT. So, you know, I don't think I'm going to do any JT Matsuyama lineups, but what I do think is that if I was going to go off of JT, I could easily see myself starting with Reed, but if many others start to do that, then I'll go down to Matsuyama and have no problem just starting with him and say, here's a chance. You know, the guy has been on fire, 8th, 11th, 2nd, 3rd in his last four. I mean, those are all good results, and some of them were actually recent. He's going to be up there. He's going to make the cut. All these factors that I expect to see. And then Morikawa is a first-timer. I know he's got the century narrative, but like I said, with the popularity, to me, if Hideki's going to be much lower than Morikawa, I'm going to just take a stance and get it on Matsuyama. What about you in this range?
I'm definitely fading Matsuyama this week just because, you know, you see a lot of the times at this course, okay, for first-timers, it's not that big of a deal. But guys who have, you know, perennially done well here keep doing well. And guys that have perennially sucked here keep sucking is what I've noticed when you look at the course history here. And Hideki just sucked ass here. Four missed cuts, the 27th, 51st. Those are his six attempts here. It's not his best tournament. He's coming off a layoff. He didn't play tournament champions. So I'm off Hideki. I'm off Reed as well. I'm in one of those groups where I don't think he can come back and do what he did last week. If his iron play is this poor again, I don't think he can do it 2 weeks in a row. Now, is it possible? It is Patrick Reed. You know, the guy's great short game, great putter, and he's always been not that great with his irons. But, I mean, man, they were just so piss poor last week that I can't get back on them. I'm going with the top two guys this week. I'm going Justin Thomas, just like you. You said everything correctly. If you look, he's the master of two CIMBs, two CIMB Classic wins, two Tournament of Century win, or Century Tournament of Champions wins. And I think, you know, two Sony wins is definitely a possibility this week. And I do like Webb. You said 10 to 15. I mean, at last three events, he's finished top 10 every single time. He finished fourth here last year. His iron play is great. You know, good with his wedges. He's actually first in this field in putting, strokes gained putting in the last 50 rounds. And again, you can't really take too much of the stats in the court, in your mind in a week like this, where a lot of people haven't played, but still that's pretty impressive. He was, I think, 11th last year in strokes gained putting for the year. So, you know, a putting an iron putting contest, I mean, that screams Webb Simpson.
Of last year, though, $11,000 Webb Simpson trusting his putter. It's been like a year and a half, a year. I don't know if I trust that. That's tough to matter. And here you said, like, you know, he did get fourth last time out, but before that it was 13th, 13th, and 13th. I mean, it's $11,100.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. But, I mean, I think he can beat Reed, Matsuyama, and Morikawa pretty easily this week. That's just my take when it comes down to it. So I'm going to go with those two at the top when it comes down to it. And that's how I'm going with it this week. All right, so let's move down to the 9K range. I'll go ahead and start. Two of my cash game cornerstones sorry, guys, are in this range. I'm going to start with – it's going to be the two old guys. The two old guys who always play well here. Matt Kuchar at $9,900. The guy has just played really well here the last few years. Basically every year he's played. I think he has like four top fives in his last six times played here. This is his course. He plays extremely well, won here last year, played good enough for me last week to get on him this week, even though I hate his ass. But I'm still going to be on Kuchar. He'll be my first cash game cornerstone. And then I'm going old man Charles Howell III as well. This guy, what, like six top tens, top eights in his last nine, 10 appearances here. Nine made cuts, only one missed cut. That was in 2011. Strong iron game. I do like Charles Howell. They're normally a strong iron game. He hasn't been playing that well. But once again, the stats, you know, you sort of throw those out the window, especially, you know, at this time of the year. A really good par four score, good around the greens, which I think will be helpful this year. So those two are going to be my cash game cornerstones, two of them. And I don't know how much I'll play them in GPPs. My favorite GPP play is going to be Neiman. If you look at Neiman, when it comes down to it, when I told in the course preview, I did say that, you know, rough proximity is one of the hardest things about this course. He finished third in rough proximity last season. You saw in the wind last week, you know, he can play in the wind. That little stinger he hit on the back nine was one of the sickest shots I saw all week. And, you know, he control the flight of his balls. So if it gets windy, I think he'll have no issues. So I really like Neiman as my favorite GPP play. And then I'm going to go with the Korean as well. Sung J.M. in GPP. He's finished 10th here last year. We all know his game. Excellent putting, tons of birdies. But I like Neiman the best out of this group.
Yeah, this range is a little bit polarizing because it's going to be, like you said, sort of the old guys versus the young guys. You get your Kuchar, Leishman, Howell, Norin, Kisner, Snedeker types, and then you got your Connors, Anser, Neiman, Im, the young gunners. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm sticking with the young gunners here. I'm with you on Neiman. I'm with you on Im. Love both those guys. The, you know, Kuchar, Leishman, whatever, you could fit them in there and be unique depending on what ownership looks like. But my third one, and we're just so opposite this week that it's going to be awesome because one of us is going to have a huge week. I'm not on Howell. I'm not going to chase the course history. I know it's like the best course history. And like I said, it is important here.
I will say I do like Howell in cash.
Yeah. I know you didn't mention that. You said you weren't sure in tournaments, but I just like Anser so much more just from everything that we saw, right? Recent form, how he looked at the President's Cup. Basically it's, you know, he's going up against the course history king when I'm using him against Howell. But if Howell's just going to be that popular and we just haven't seen anything of him, and I know, again, he's almost like a Webb Simpson light. He's going to be the guy that's going to come 15th to 30th range, and that's still really good because at his price, and you know, now we know how tough it is to get 6-6 through the cut, maybe use them together to be unique in an opposite effect of what I'm talking about. But if I got to pick one gun to my head, I'm taking Anser. I just like his game. You know, last year he was, you know, 29th. It wasn't anything serious, but just getting to know it, and we've seen him change quite a bit. Like you talked about with the, and just the putting that I've seen from him in the past, just how good his game looks. I know he's going to be a little bit popular, but I definitely still like Anser over Howell 1-1. Other than that, Connors, who I mentioned, I like. The only real old guy in the group that I'm liking is Snedeker. And mainly he's just the best of the rest. He's sort of the same as the guys above, like for, you know, like a Kuchar type, he's 1300 less. I think he's similar in style. He's got you know, he's one of the best in the field basically that didn't play last week. So as far as OWGR, whatever, but in general of players, we know that he can putt. He's got three wins on Bermuda since 2008, so I think that's important. And then we just know what he can do with his short game and whatnot as well. So I'm good with Snedeker here at 8,600, dropping down a little bit lower range. I like Poston, I like Putnam, I like Munoz. I think all of them will be popular. The one guy, and I'm dropping a little bit into the 7-9 range there. I didn't realize Munoz was right there. But the other guy I kind of like, though, is Harmon. Harmon's got some decent course history here, 6-8. Missed cut last time out, but before that he's 4th, 20th, 13th, and 13th. You're way down at 8,200 now, 14th his last outing. And lots of good quotes if you go back and look of Harmon talking about the greens and just this course and loving it, suiting his eye. So I think he'll be the more unique of the young gunners there with Poston, Putnam, and Munoz. What do you got down in the lower range, Kenny?
Yeah, my third cash game cornerstone is going to be Poston, a guy who played the Tournament of Champions last week. I think Howell is going to be the only guy in my cash game cornerstones that didn't play last week. I like that narrative. So I like Poston. He's been playing good golf, you know, lots of birdies, really good on par fours. He's been putting pretty well. His irons have been, you know, pretty good, above average, well above average. And his tee to green's been great. Top 25, top 26 in strokes gained around the green in this field in the last 50 rounds. So I do like Poston as my third cash game cornerstone. I do like Connors a lot for GPPs. I think he finished third here last week. And if you look, he's 25th in rough proximity last year. So he's really good from out of the rough. He's one of the worst putters in this field. But the thing is, the green complexes here are pretty flat. They're sort of a little bit easier. It's a lot easier than what we saw last week, and that could play towards his advantage. So I do like Corey Connors. I like Cam a little bit too, especially if the wind picks up. You know, you know he's good in the wind. You know he's good around the greens. So I like Cam a little bit. And he's had some decent finishes here. I think three straight top 25 or top 27s in his last three appearances. So I like him in GPPs as well. And I'll do Chez as well, Reedy, at 8,400. So I do like this range a lot. So I'll be playing a lot of these golfers, especially if I start with Justin Thomas and Webb Simpson. I'm going to have to be playing a lot of these 8K guys. I can't go, you know, both those guys and, like, you know, two guys in the 9K range is not going to work for lineup construction. So I will be heavy on this 8K range. So let's move to the 7K range. And my final cash game cornerstone is going to be Sebastian Munoz at $7,900. Again, another guy who played last week. Pretty, you know, decent performance. Not the best, but not bad. You know, makes a lot of birdies. Good around the greens. Really good putter. So my four cash game cornerstones this week for the Sony Champ Sony Open is going to be Matt Kuchar at $9,900. Charles Howell III at 9,100, JT Poston at 8,100, and Sebastian Munoz at 7,900. This leaves you $15,000 left to fill out the rest of your cash lineup. Other guys I do like in this range in GPPs, I like Russell Knox. Again, another guy, I think he was ninth last year in rough proximity. Another guy who could play well in the wind. His iron game is strong, so I like him for GPPs. And he's been playing pretty decent golf here. Over, you know, at the end of the season. So I do like him. I like Ryan Palmer. Again, another guy, he was 11th in rough proximity last year. He's won this tournament before. He showed a lot of life on Sunday, you know, holding out, you know, having his best round of the week, really good with his wedges. You'll see a lot of approaches from 125 to 175 in this course. So I do like Ryan Palmer. Who do you like in this top range there, Campbell?
A couple of you said, so this is sort of what I call the wind range. So you mentioned Knox, Fratelli, a Texas guy, right? Obviously he can play in the wind, hasn't shown it, you know, hadn't shown much recently. He didn't do well at the Century, but he was there. So that's something. And then here he did make the cut last year. Carlos Ortiz, hot streak, a second and a fourth coming in, 29th here last year. He's another guy I like. I am always a sucker for Grillo, especially like you said, with those flatter green complexes. You know, 3 for 3 made cuts here, but it's more just about the upside that I think he has at 7,600. A guy like him, and then another guy right below him, Sabatini. Sabatini, and then dropping down a little bit to, I think he's actually lower. I'll get to him later. But anyway, Sabatini and Tway went a little bit under the radar and won the QBE shootout. Not that that's a major tournament, but the fact that they got it done together, that's two guys that have a little bit of recent form that were able to score and do well and win a tournament. So I think they'll be guys that just go overlooked and that we know can put up these scores. And then last one, I guess, really, you mentioned Palmer already, but Vaughn Taylor, I think he's going to get popular, but I still like that chalk. I mean, he's 10th, second coming in, great stats across the board, seems a little bit underpriced at 7,400. So don't mind him. And then maybe one more I'll throw in. I got a few more names here, but I'll get your take on one in a minute. But, and then Brian Gay, you're always a big Brian Gay truther, but we know he can putt. Great course history here, 16 out of 19. 8 top 25s, 3 top 10s. I mean, he's just solid at this course. I know he didn't play last week, obviously, but at the end of the day, for the price, 7,200, he's fine. What about Shugo Imihara? Kenny, what's your take on him?
I'm not really sure. I mean, the guy's, you know, made the cut here a couple of times. I think he will be low-owned. It could be worth a little bit of a look. I mean, he has like 5 top threes in his last, or what was it, five top threes in his last 8 events played. So
yeah, two wins as well. Yeah. I know it's Japan Tour, but man, this guy's, I think he's like overpriced. That's what I wanted to get your take. And it sounds like you're not heavy on him, but I think the thing is he's overpriced to the look. So when people see it, they'll be like, nah. But at the end of the day, he looks like a guaranteed made cut. He's 2 for 2 here with a 33rd and a 54th. And at the end of the day, if he's going to score for you, which we know he can, I mean, that's pretty good pick for 7,300 for the upside you can get out of him.
Yeah, the more I look at him, the more I like him for GPPs. So, yeah, I'm definitely down with Shugo. But I also sort of like Daniel Berger at the same price as $7,300. He ended the season in the fall pretty strong. I mean, if you look at his results in the fall swing, I mean, I think he had 17th at the Zozo, 18th at the Shriner, 23rd at Safeway. So three of those four events, he topped 25. So he's looking pretty good form-wise. He's a decent putter on Bermuda, not his best, but way better than Bent. And he makes a good amount of birdies. So he's done pretty well here at this event in the past. If I'm looking, I think he has, you know, a couple of top 15s here in his four tries. So I like Berger a little bit in this price range. And I'll probably go maybe a little bit of Ryan Armour at $7,100, just at 7,000, just because, you know, coastal course, short course, that's sort of his shit. So, you know, and same with Brian Stewart up at 7,900. These type of courses are going to be like their type of courses where they can actually make a move. And I bet that both of them won't be that highly owned. All right, so let's get to this 6K range, Tampa.
Yeah, one more quick, I just forgot to mention, was Matt Jones. Kind of a sucker for him, but he actually got a win overseas, the Emirates Australian Open. And it sounds like nothing, but he did hold off Louis, Casey, and Leishman to get that W. So, I mean, that's something. And I don't know, like you mentioned Cam
really
earlier.
Really good around the green, bro. Really good short
right.
game, too.
And you mentioned Cam Smith earlier in a little bit. You know, obviously it's terrible to see what's going on in Australia right now with the fires and whatnot. But I'm wondering if –
oh, God, that's awful.
You know, it's insane. Exactly. But maybe that sparks these guys a little bit. You know, a little narrative for themselves, whether they're doing it for charity that we'll see come out later in the week or something like that. But they, obviously it's in their hearts. It's something that they want to play well. So they, all those Australians over here – fit the greens and fit the setup anyway, but that's just something else on their mind that I think you see a lot of times when people are playing for something, they go out and play a little bit harder, right? So I definitely don't mind Matty Jones dropping down to the 6K range. Couple guys, one I wanted to talk about quick actually that I missed, and I think he's right on the button, 7,000, Kenny. You didn't mention him. Kyle Stanley, another guy here that's popping for me. 30th, 21st, and 48th in three of his last four. 7 for 7 made cuts here with a 22nd, a 10th, and a 13th in three of his last four. To me, that's pretty good for 7,000 straight, and then you drop down from there. Don't mind Bud Cauley. I'd say Cauley and Garnett right at the top. Those two stand out right away for me. You mentioned Fabian Gomez earlier. Obviously, the great course history here. And then this is what I was saying earlier. It's about, you know, you need to get both right, obviously, to make your lineup work up top and down low. But there's just, you got to spread your shares out down here. Like when you've got, and without just naming everybody and start talking about them, just to give names, Duncan, Gooch, Lashley, Long, McDowell, Mitchell, Tway, all those guys we've talked about already. And then there's even more. We haven't even hit 6,600 yet. That's where I'm saying you're going to have to mix it up. A couple guys for me, like I mentioned, was Tway, just the win factor, the win there with Sabatini. I know it wasn't major, but just something to have. Mitchell, 16th and 25th his last two times here. I know he was almost DFL last week, but sticking with him, he's still in the weather, in the wind, got the Bermuda greens in his favor. 6,800 is a fair price. And the last one I'll mention there and then let you take over is McDowell. Obviously, with the coastal factor again, the winds, all those things, I just think it's underpriced for a guy that we know can actually win in a field like this at $6,800.
Yeah, I mean, I like Cauley up top a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to go heavy on him. His course history here is sort of poor, but, you know, the stat-wise, it lines up. Good iron play, good short game, pretty good fall season, good on par fours. We'll see if he can come back and do better at this course's fourth time around. I also do like G-Mac. He showed some life after starting really poorly last week. And, you know, another, you know, I guess you can call this a coastal course. You know, it is, I guess. And then, you know, it has the what's it called? My mind is really going blank right now. I'm losing it at this point in time. Good win player, you know, good, he's done well at Mayakoba, good, really good from 150 to 175, you know, wedge, 9-iron. You're going to see a lot of those. I sort of like, Harry Higgs. One reason I like Harry Higgs because he has like the same body shape that I have. He's a big boy. He's a big boy, but you know, really above average with his wedge play and his short irons, good on par fours. He had a pretty solid fall swing with a second at the Bermuda. He had top 25 at the Safeway, a couple more made cuts at the RSM and Mayakoba. So I like Harry Higgs at that range down below. And when you get down below that, it starts shrinking a little bit. You got any guys? It's 6,500 and below that you're a big fan of?
Not really a big fan of, no. Like a few that I wrote, you know, just wrote up on here right quick was Doc Redman, always the FOMO, always has the upside. Decent, like you said, in his last four of his last five out are 23, 35, 13, and 42. I mean, it's not anything serious, but he's got upside to make a cut. Robbie Shelton, sort of the same deal. Those guys can just pop at any time. Hubbard, We talked about him a lot during the fall swing. He makes cuts, right? That's the thing about him. And an interesting fact on him, just to bring it up, I brought this up about Lanto last week, and I get that it was a 34-man field. I said it multiple times in this podcast today. But to clarify that stat from last week on Lanto, when I said, you know how I said he made all those cuts, or sorry, he had all those top 25s with those cuts made, that's on all tours. So I know that it incorporates some of the Korn Ferry and stuff, but it's not like these are easy tours where these guys are taking it out on. And Hubbard's another guy. Of his last 23 made cuts, 14 of them were top 25s. So it's like, first off, he's made his last five cuts on tour, you know, and at the end of the day, when he's making the cut, he's got upside. So I'm looking for guys like that in GPPs that when they make the cut, they have the upside to get to the top 25, coming from a $6,500 price point. So definitely like him. Dropping down, the other one, the only other one I'll bring up, and then I'll click it over to you again if you want to round it out, but Scotty Harrington posted I saw a tweet today. Someone retweeted about him. You know, obviously his wife had cancer. She's in remission now. He's just, you know, blessed, happy to be on his way to Hawaii with his wife. Being able to do this and, you know, go over there is just a blessing to him. So, you know, he's really got the right mindset. He said, you know, talked all about, you know, positivity, being in the right frame of mind. It's going to be a big 2020 for the Harringtons. I love stuff like that. And this guy went through quite a bit. Another guy that performs when he makes the cut, had a second to Lanto Griffin at the Houston Open, 23rd at the Safeway, and then a bunch of top 10s on the Korn Ferry Tour, including a second to get his card back in the first place. So definitely like guys like him, Hubbard, down here. Anyone else stand out for you, Kenny? There's so many guys. It's insane. This range is just packed.
Well, I mean, you got the Matt Every revenge narrative where he got suspended for pot, you know, for the last few months of the last week, of the last season. He's coming back on tour now. So, you know, good wedge player. He might be able to make some noise here and play angry golf, you know. But, I mean, when it comes down to this range, just not the biggest fan of too many of these guys. I mean, there was James Hahn, you know, came second a couple years ago. You never know when he's going to pop. I mean, he could be worth a GPP flyer in that range just because he's sort of like a poor man Siwoo Kim. Like, you never know. You know, you might throw five lineups in there with him and just get lucky.
Oh, he was second just 2 years ago. Like, he's solid.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, so I like him as well. But that's probably about it. You know, maybe Aaron Baddeley at $6,500. Did he withdraw?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I guess don't worry about him. But, yeah, just looking – I'm sure by the end of the week I'll have more. But just, you know, this first initial research, it's just hard to pick. And maybe when I dig a little deeper, I'll post some more of my favorites on Drops Corner.
Yeah, I think a good spot just to bring up a little strategy right quick, Kenny. I know we got a little bit of time here, and just to go through it, because when you get a spot like this, I know we're getting back to it. I just was clarifying too, Aaron Baddeley did, like I thought, withdraw just about 8 hours ago. Rob Bolton posted it. So if you don't follow Rob Bolton Golf, that's the fastest way to get these updates. But yeah, real quick on strategy, like, you've got an event like this, you got to decide what you're playing, first of all, just my opinion. But, you know, for me, if I'm going to play 150 lineups in the $5 this week, I know I'm going to have a pool of guys. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to star, or whatever you do in a spreadsheet, however you want to do it, get your list of guys and then get it down to, let's say, 75. And I'm not saying that's what your pool should be. I'm saying start there, because now you've cut the field from 144, because right now it's sitting at 140. We're waiting on the four Monday qualifiers to max it out at 144. I didn't see who that was yet. If anyone pops up, that'll be posted either on my Twitter or in the Gups Corner Slack if I like any of those four. But anyway, get it back down to 75. From there, that's what I do. And then I start making tough decisions, right? I'm not going to roster 75 guys, but with the new, you know, cut rules with the six out of six being top 65 and ties, I might do, like, you know, 60 guys and make sure I really space it out at the bottom and start mixing all these guys in, because there's so many guys that we didn't even name that you can talk about. You know, the Strebs, the Swoffords, the Merritts, the Riders, the Shanks, Lebiotas, all the names you hear us talk about week in, week out are down here. Shout out Roger Sloan, Canadian. Down there, 6,200. Horikawa, not Morikawa, Horikawa, down at 6,100. Another Japan Tour regular with massive upside. I mean, there's a lot of guys in this range. Rob Oppenheim. So there's a lot of guys down here that you can go to, but you really got to start making those tough decisions and decide what you're playing, build around that, and then build the lineups that you're happiest putting forward for the weekend.
One dude I didn't miss is probably Jerry Kelly at $6,200.
Old man Kelly,
I know he's an old man, but the guy was balling on the Champions Tour this season. And like I said, this course, it caters to the old guys, and you can see with his form here, I mean, in the last 6 years, he has three top 10s and a 14th. you know, and he was up there in age. I mean, he's on the senior tour now for, you know, a little while. So, you know, maybe another guy you could throw in as a punt play who you hope can make the cut with a little bit of upside.
Well, he's worth it because if he makes the cut, he top 15s or better.
Oh, yeah, he has. Right?
So that's why he's worth throwing in the pool, because if he makes the cut, he has two missed cuts in the last 5 years, and then there's a 14th, a 9th, and a 6th. So get him in there, right? Take 5% or take 4%.
All right, so let's move into this betting segment here, Tampa. Why don't you go ahead and take us away?
Yeah, so I'm just going back to the regular six-pack myself, Kenny. So some that I don't want to miss. I think these are very popular amongst the industry, but for me, it's just where it's at. And I mean, the time of the season that it is what it is. That's who I like. So I don't want to miss Sungjae Im. So I hate the number 20, but that's where I'm starting. I'm sort of really low in here because I think it's going to be JT. So I might look for some doubles. But yeah, Im 20, Neiman 35, Answer 40, Munoz 70 with the each way, Kyle Stanley 125 with the each way. And then I missed a bigger number on McDowell, but I still got him at 125 with the each way.
So I was looking at Josh Perry's Twitter feed. If you don't follow him, you should. It's at Joshua Perry 22. Really, really sharp guy. What he said is you should probably put your bets in, your outrights on guys that played in the Tournament of Champions, just because what we've seen over the years, those are the guys that somewhat win, and then wait to live bet the others after the first round so you can see how much rust they've shaken off or if they're rusty at all. And I sort of like that idea by Josh. So shout out to him. So all my five top bets are all going to be – all have played last week. So it's going to be Kuchar at 22-1, Neiman at 33-1, Connors at 40-1, Chez at 50-1, Munoz at 66-1, and then my punt is Higgs at 150-1. So that's going to be my six-pack this week. You got a one and done this week? I sort of forgot.
Yeah, I didn't forget, but I wanted to talk about it because, yeah, that's the thing. So it's single entry, and we're going to roll them out. I don't give a shit about that. I'll talk about it every week. But it is still tough. Like, at an event like this, even strategy-wise, like, last week some guys were starting their one and done and asked me what they should do because the Big Gups Corner one is just under 3,000 people. It's going to be incredible with – skin segments and payouts for segment payouts, and then a skins set, like a skins game type deal where if you have the only winner of a week, you get a skin, basically you get money for that. So for me, it's tough because last week I said guys should play some of the younger guys that you probably never use again, like a Neiman, a Wolf, a Morikawa, and some of them did well, like Neiman and Morikawa. But now this week I'm stuck. Do I just bury JT right out of the gate knowing that he's probably going to win and he looks good, or do I take Morikawa because I'm just never going to use him again? I don't care, and it's sort of a hedge life because I don't really feel – I feel like he's going to be way too popular in DFS, and I don't know if he's going to pay off 10-3. But in that case, then why am I using him for one and done? So for me, it's a little bit tougher. I'll decide as the week goes on. Did you have a stone pick right now that you know you're going to pick, or are you between a few guys?
I'm between the old guys, Kuchar, Charles Howell III, and the young boy, Neiman. The reason I'm thinking about Neiman is because – you've seen throughout his pro career that when he gets hot, he sort of stays hot for a little while. I mean, he had like three top eights in five events early in his career, from the Valero all the way to the Memorial. He went eighth and sixth back-to-back weeks at the Schwab Memorial in 2018. You know, he's played well at the Greenbrier, which is another Seth Rayner course who designed Wild Eye, so he has some things there. And then, you know, you look even more, he finished fifth at the Traveler last year, next week finished fifth at the Rocket Mortgage, so he's done well in bunches, you know, other than his win, and I can understand that. When you get your first win, a lot of these young guys, they just sort of fade for a little bit. But so I'm leaning Neiman right now, especially if it gets windy, and I really like the way he plays his win game. So I think it's going to be one of those three guys for me this week, but I'm leaning Neiman.
Yeah, JT probably just wins. Mike Miller at Smart Golf Bets, he had the double down thought on JT as well. I kind of forgot about that a little bit, but two-time Century TOCs, two-time CIMBs, and two-time CJ Cups, and he's got one Sony Open in his trophy cabinet.
I said that earlier. I definitely agree.
God, it's like he's just going to win. It's insane.
Well, I said last week, Justin Thomas is going to be the player of the year.
Yeah, we were on it.
The way he's playing, it's just no doubt in my mind. That he's going to be the number one golfer in the world real soon. You know, and it was a good start to the year. I mean, three wins in his last, what, seven events.
Yeah.
Played. I mean, that's just sick. I mean, you don't see that often, you know, and he's been doing it, and he does it all the time. You know, he gets these wins in bunches. So, I mean, pretty amazing stuff by JT. I expect a big year from him.
Yeah, he's got the best club twirl on tour now that Tiger doesn't twirl anymore.
Yeah. Reed has a good one, too.
Yeah, Reed's all right. So, yeah, I mean, that's it for me. I don't got much else, Kenny. Other than that, I mean, thanks to Kenny for powering through. I know this has been a tough one for you. And, you got a lot going on over there, but wish you the best. Hope you feel better over next week, man. We'll be back at it again next week. Tell the people where they can find you, Kenny.
All right. You know, first off, you know, make sure to leave a 5-star rating and a review on the pod. It really helps us out. If you enjoy the pod and we've helped you out, it really helps us, you know, with sponsors and stuff like that. So if you can help us out, do us a favor, leave a 5-star review and a nice little 5-star rating and a nice little review for us. You can find me at KendoVT on Twitter. I'm always on there. You can DM me anytime. DMs are open. You can also find me each week, my article at gupscorner.com. I do, you know, course preview, trends, stats to look for. And then Wednesday, I post my favorite cash plays, non-cash game cornerstone cash plays in each price range. So go ahead and check that out. The Slack is amazing. Use promo code DGEN20. Tell them where they can find you, Tim.
Yeah, on Twitter, at Totec and Tambo. Post any updates to the stuff there. Basically, push out the article, that sort of thing. And then at Cups Corner, as Kenny just mentioned, you'll always find us over there. A few people, you know, hit Kenny and I up, said, how do I get on there after they saw my week? Whatever. All the stuff that Kenny and I talked about, I mean, they were the favorites, sure. But JT, Lanto, Reed, all the guys that we talked about were in the lineup that I had that won. So, you know, you want to get over there. Hit us up in our DMs if you have any questions. And other than that, we'll see you next week.
All right, guys. So have a good week here. Last week in Hawaii. Let's win some motherfucking money, DGEN Nation.